Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Wesley and Ray, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us in studio. Good morning.
Morning, everybody.
Brother Steve. Hey, I was looking, Ray, you were talking earlier, of course, Ray's in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo, but he's stepped away from the microphone, so he's going to have a hard time answering this question.
I'll answer for him. There he is.
What I was saying was I was looking at these photographs and videos from last night in Oklahoma, that tornado that went through Barnsdall and nearby the town of Bartlesville.
We have a station there.
Yeah. At least we have listeners there. Do we have a we have a station there? I think so, yeah.
We do. We have 11 stations in Oklahoma, and one of our stations is located in Bartlesville.
Gotcha. Well, we have 170 stations, so it's hard for me to, and sometimes they change, hard for me to remember all of them. But I knew we had a lot of listeners in that area. But, man, they said this is like an F5, Ray. Did you see this?
No, I haven't seen the picture
okay.
yet.
Okay. And I mean, just wow. I think it's an F5. I mean, it had the, it says EF3. Hold on a second. A tornado that was initially estimated at EF3 strength or higher.
Okay.
But it may have been an F4. But anyway, just very powerful tornado that just wreaked havoc. Just wreaked havoc across. But I'm looking at the picture of the tornado. It just looked ominous. Just looked scary on the ground there. All right. So that's, you know, as we mentioned at the top of the program, Ray talked about how over the heartland, the last few days, it's just been a daily threat of tornadic activity. Oklahoma, Texas, where Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, all up in that area. All right, you're listening to today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve Paisley, Jordahl, joins us now. Good morning again, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
What do you got, Steve?
I've been watching what's going on at the Capitol in the, looks like in Statuary Hall. They're having Holocaust Remembrance Ceremony. Speaker Johnson spoke. So did Leader Hakeem Jeffries and the head of the Holocaust Remembrance Organization that's sponsoring this. And then President Biden spoke. He was speaking as I came in, so I wasn't able to get to listen to what he said. But I got to tell you, Speaker Johnson was pulling no punches. He had some very strong things to say. In fact, I've had to cut this back a little bit. Some of it was a little too graphic for our air, for our audience. So listen to this, and we can talk about it afterwards. This is cut 12.
If you close your eyes in the quietness of your own heart, you can almost hear the glass of Jewish storefronts shattered by stormtroopers. You can see fathers being executed at point blank in the ghettos. You can feel a brother's hand slipping out of his sister's as men in uniforms separate them into lines, and they can only mouth to one another, "Everything will be okay," hoping that it would be. You can hear screams coming from the gas chambers. And then you reopen your eyes, hoping the memories of that nightmare will finally go away. But now you're met with new images of young Jewish girls gunned down at a music festival. Little boys are murdered by men carrying black, red, and green flags, not speaking German, but Arabic. Just as in 1940, this violence was perpetrated by those who hate the Star of David. We have to remember, we have to look evil directly in the face, because some things are so wrong. Some are trying to downplay and justify what happened on October 7th. There are some who would prefer to criticize Israel and lecture them on their military tactics. They would rather do that than punish the terrorists who perpetrated these horrific crimes.
That was Speaker Johnson at the Holocaust Remembrance Ceremony.
Is this an annual?
Yes.
Okay.
It does happen to be the 75th anniversary of it, though, I believe. So it's kind of a significant number.
Ray, do you know how many Jewish people died in the Holocaust, Ray?
6 million.
Was those all Europeans at the hands of Hitler?
Well, so many of them were from Poland. Basically, there were, 3 million Jews in Poland before the war. 90% of them were killed in the Holocaust. And then later in the war, 300,000-400,000 Hungarian Jews sent to Auschwitz and gassed. What the Nazis did, it wasn't just criminal and evil. It was ruthless in its technological brilliance. They perfected the means, Tim, of killing thousands and thousands and thousands of Jewish men, women, boys, and girls day after day after day after day. There's a reason for 75 years we've had a Holocaust Remembrance Day, because there's been nothing else like it in world history, not like this, and certainly not in modern world history. So 6 million killed.
Yeah. Do you know why? I've talked to Ed about this. Ed is a historian, maybe not formally, but he knows. Do you know why Hitler and in his why he hated the Jews so much?
It was deep-seated. Anti-Semitism has been around, Tim. As we've said before, it's been around a long, long time. But there was the myth that the Jews controlled the economy. They only favored their own. And Hitler used the excuse that they were Bolsheviks and friends of the communists, which truly, I mean, there were some Jews who tended in that way. But this is blood hatred. This is not just hatred for rich Jews or educated Jews. It's a plan to wipe out an entire race of people from the earth. And Hitler largely succeeded in terms of the Jews of Eastern Europe. I have a friend who has ministered in Poland for, I guess, 35 years. And he commented to me one day. He said, "I've been in Poland for all these years. I've met maybe 6 Jewish people in Poland in all those years." It was effectively wiping away centuries of Jewish life from the nation of Poland.
Hmm. Yeah. Any?
I just, everything Ray said was correct. Hitler used the Jews as a scapegoat. He needed an anger in the country in order to consolidate his power. He needed them mad at something. We dare not forget that, because we're seeing a lot of anger in this country being used to consolidate power as well. There's a lot of echoes going on right now to that time. Right, Ray?
It is happening again. And we've said this over and over. The shock is not that there is anti-Semitism. It's that it was so close to the surface and we didn't realize it. October 7th did not create anti-Semitism. It just pulled the cover off, and now we see what was always there.
Yeah, well, and this is a part of historical anti-Semitism. It preceded Hitler, obviously, goes back hundreds or thousands of years. Anyway,
look, it goes back. You could trace it all the way back to him, to Pharaoh,
Haman,
in the book of Exodus, right?
Yeah.
And there's Haman.
Yeah.
Go back all the way to the Egyptian Pharaoh, who wanted all the Jewish baby boys put to death.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's anti-Semitism, deep roots in the human heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know they have a Holocaust Museum both in Washington, D.C., and then also in Jerusalem, by the way. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, the State of Israel, which was created in 1948 by the United Nations at the time, was to give the Jews a homeland they could call their own post-Holocaust.
Return the Jews to their homeland.
To their native homeland. Yeah, you want to talk about a native people? the Jews to Israel are as native a people as you're going to get, right, Ray? On the face of the earth. I mean, there's no...
Oh, they've been... The Jewish history in the Holy Land traces back, 3,500 years to Moses leading the people out of Egypt and Joshua leading them across the Jordan River. From the time of Joshua until now, there have always been Jewish people in the Holy Land. Always.
Yeah, and these people that are protesting on behalf of the Palestinians, they're the same people who would say that we need to promote the natives, the native people, Native Americans, for example. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we have natives.
We're on
we have
stolen
natives.
Land.
Right.
Yes.
We have natives in Israel. They're called Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? Who are the native people there. I'm not saying the Palestinians / Arabs have also, they've lived in that part of the world as well. That's true.
And they need a home too, right? Yeah. Nobody is saying that they don't need a home. They do.
You know, as an aside here, and it's rare that we rabbit trail in this show, but you know, Allison, my wife and I, we were talking about this last night because we've been over there 25 times or so in Israel, travel the Holy Land, still get chills when I go to Jerusalem because it's the city of God and all the history there relating back to the Bible. But we were talking about how none of the Arab countries are offering land for the Palestinians.
Yep.
Why is this? They're blood brothers, okay? The Arabs who are in Gaza, do you know how much land Saudi Arabia has that's unoccupied? Look at the country of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think it's, aren't they bordering down there with Gaza, or is that just Egypt?
Well, it's, you know, Gaza's right there on the Mediterranean Sea, but everything's pretty close there, right? And Saudi Arabia is a huge country, many times larger than the nation of Israel.
Saudi Arabia, an Arab country, could easily take in, I don't know about easily, but they could accommodate for 2-3 million people, give them a refugee area, and then build them a city. With all that oil money, they got land, they got maybe desert land, but I mean, I'm just saying that Saudis are super wealthy, probably one of the most per capita wealthiest countries in the world because of the oil. But they don't want the Palestinians in their country. The Egyptians don't want them there. The Jordanians don't want them. I mean, these are their own people that don't want them. And yet they say, oh, the Jews are the problem.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which the Jews in Israel actually gave Gaza a strip of land there on the Mediterranean, which is makes it much more
beautiful. A beautiful spot.
Yes.
Beautiful spot.
Yes, much
beautiful.
More and much more valuable on the Mediterranean Sea. As somebody said, they could have turned it into Dubai.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Could have and should have.
Yeah, a tourist destination instead.
Yes.
Anyway, the situation there, they live in squalor, a lot of them. But it's quite frankly, it's a lot of it's due to Hamas, and a lot of it's due to just they don't have any. They're not able to progress. Okay. And do what other Arab countries have done to make themselves, as I say, tourist destinations, historical sites. But the bottom line is the other Arab countries don't want their Arab brethren to come to their country. Don't you find that a little odd, Steve?
Well, the worry is they'll bring their politics with them. like we're worried about people moving to Tennessee from California.
Yeah.
Well, even worse, because they're not just bringing liberal values, they're bringing death and destruction with them.
Egypt doesn't want Hamas in their country.
No.
They have had their own dealings with the Muslim Brotherhood, which is similar to Hamas. I mean, these Arab countries, they don't want these extremists either. And you bring Hamas in, it's like bringing the mafia in to your neighborhood. Nobody wants that. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
We might say that the demise of the Boy Scouts is complete. Today, the Boy Scouts announced they're changing their name for the first time in the 114-year history of the organization.
What?
They will now be called Scouting America. Of course, they can't have the word boy in there if they're going to include girls.
Are they going to include girls?
Yes, they have been including girls for several years now.
And we got Girl Scouts.
Yep.
Why do we need girls who think they're Boy Scouts?
Well, the Girl Scouts were none too pleased with this and sued, but a court said, no, you can both use the name Scouting, so this come to some kind of uncomfortable agreement between the two of them. But the Boy Scouts started allowing gay youth in 2013. They allowed gay adult leaders in 2015. What could possibly go wrong there? Girls were accepted in 2017, and
you're telling me now the Boy Scouts of America have changed their name?
Yes.
Today? Is it today?
It announced at its meeting Tuesday that it will become Scouting America.
What will happen to the name Boy Scouts?
It's gone. It's legacy.
So this is basically like inner squad where girls come, and so this is now including boys, girls, and homosexuals and transgenders. Like pretty much, this is just
come on.
All comers.
Yeah, Boy Scouts of America. When was it they started going
fulfilling their commitment of inclusion there?
Yeah, they started doing this about 10 or 15 years
2013
ago.
2013 is when they decided to stop the – I remember covering the Boy Scouts early days when I was at Focus on the Family in 2002, 3, 4. Strong organization. They took a stand against thing, and they got sued, and they stood up to it, and they got sued, and they stood up to it. And then they finally – well, they went through a bankruptcy, but that happened after they started caving. They started caving. And, this is a similar path that a lot of Christian denominations have taken. They start opening up, thinking that they're, we're losing people, we've got to become more inclusive, and no one's going to want to go.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that Boy Scouts of America now have officially changed their name, and they've been trending this way to get away from the moral values that they always stood for.
Yep.
Which was, they use the term morally straight, and... so they've acquiesced. They've said LGBTQ, everybody's...
They're going down the route of the United Methodists, and they're just... The United Methodists and the Boy Scouts are competing to see who can get there first.
Yep.
That's what
we're
happening.
Sad but true. Yep. Anyway, we do have Trail Life USA.
Yes.
That we promote.
John
Stenberger's group. John was a Eagle Scout. John Stenberger of Florida. He's been on with us before. And when the Boy Scouts decided they were going to let openly homosexual scoutmasters,
correct,
he said, nope, not going to do it. Going to have to start something else. So he started, is it Trail Life? Is that what it's
called? Trail Life right. USA, and then there's a girls' version of that too, but I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah. Trail Life. Maybe get John back on sometime soon.
We have him on a couple times a year on different programs, and like you said, we can have him on.
It's a scouting program. With the same morals and values that the Boy Scouts used to have.
Huh? Yeah, it's
American Heritage Girls.
American Heritage Girls.
We've had their leader on, too. I forget her name.
Yeah.
She's been on with this before as well.
And Trail Life USA is for boys.
Yep.
All right, you're listening to today's issues. And they've been growing like crazy, by the way.
Can I just jump in here and make a comment? When I was growing up, which was a long time ago, Boy Scout troops especially were sponsored by local churches.
Yes.
Methodist churches, Baptist churches, Episcopal churches, Lutheran churches. I mean, that was a very middle American thing to do. Your church had a Boy Scout troop. I would say this to evangelical churches. There was a day when that was a wonderful ministry, I think, but that day has come and gone. And I think we ought to say to any evangelical church, the mainline, right? The mainline churches are going to, the Methodists, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. But if you're an evangelical church and you still have a Boy Scout troop, I think it's about time to pick up the phone and call the people at Trail Life. Mm-hmm. And look, they've dropped the name Boy. It's not even what it was 20 years ago. So I think it's a great idea for churches to do this kind of thing, but get get in touch with an organization that shares your values, like Trail Life USA and American Heritage Girls.
I'm kind of stunned that they were able to take over the Boy Scouts, because Boy Scouts are made up of conservative, mostly conservative people.
Yeah.
Used to be.
That's
conservative.
Sure.
I know. That's what I'm saying. The way that they weaseled their way in, these lefties, to get in control of the Boy Scouts of America, to the ultimately where they changed their policies and changed their name.
They started with the courts. There was a dock in Philadelphia, I believe, a boat place where they had a berthing boats, and someone sued. I don't remember all the details, but someone sued, like probably one of the gay rights groups sued, saying you can't have this or whatever. And they started losing these lawsuits that the Boy Scouts did in court, which put financial pressure on them. And finally, it just caved.
Yeah. Next story.
Back to the United Nations. The pressure on Israel continues to grow. It's always been, the United Nations has always been a very anti-Israel organization. But it seems like by this Friday, we're hearing that they could have a vote. It's a symbolic measure to recognize Palestine as an independent country. Now, it will probably get the vote of the full committee, but it has to pass the Security Council. And the U.S. will probably veto it at that point. But there's an effort there to bring the Palestinians on as a full country, giving them legitimacy that they do not have in naturally.
All right, you got this. What's the last story you were saving up for us?
Oh.
Equator?
No, what was that? Oh, well, you want the skaters.
I don't care what one you want to.
All right, so, you know, we got this double blessing of cicada broods that are hatching now, millions and millions of.
Yeah, when is that going to hit?
I don't know. It's supposed to be soon, I hear.
Right now.
Well,
right
the New York now. Times is on it. They are saying now the New York Times cooking. Yes, you heard that right. A trillion cicadas, they're what's for dinner. For enthusiasts of edible bugs, this year's emergence presents an opportunity to cook up those noisy lobsters of the trees, they're called. And they're saying anything you can do with shrimp, you can do with cicadas. Except not in my kitchen, you can't.
Oh, no. So do they have recipes for what to do?
I looked on my New York Times cooking app, and I couldn't find any yet.
Cicada casserole?
Whoever wrote that's right. In denial.
What do they look like? They look like crickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I bet you can grill them. I bet you can grill them and eat them. I mean, pull the.
Are they supposed to be where you are, Ray? In Kansas City?
Yeah, but really more down in the Chicago Midwest.
Oh, Midwest.
Down into the Mid South. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that they've said where we live is supposed to have big. Are you looking at where they're going to hit, Wesley? I say hit. I don't know what you call them. Hatch. They're going to hatch
out of the ground.
They're hatching. Yeah. So somebody said they sound terrible.
They're loud.
You've heard them.
They are loud.
Oh, yeah.
They are loud. Yes.
Billions.
Yes.
But now they don't. They're not around for long, right?
No.
No.
They're kind of the one-hit wonder.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
World.
Couple weeks and they're gone.
Yeah, a couple weeks and they're out of there.
Eat them if you got.
That's
them.
Why you got. That's why you got to get bags of them and freeze them. You're gonna want some.
Watch some in the winter.
Yeah,
right?
You're gonna want some in the winter. Thanksgiving comes around. You're gonna
That's
want.
Right.
You gonna serve those? What are they called?
With you,
cicadas.
Cicadas. Gotta serve those cicadas.
Yeah. Right.
I have me some caramel glazed cicadas, please.
There you
for
go.
Dessert.
Dip them in chocolate. Right.
Yes.
Tastes like chicken.
Can you imagine your wife going out to the freezer to get a bag or a little pack of frozen meat, and then she sees that sitting on top of your hamburger meat?
Oh, I don't know.
Time for this show to end.